Today is the fourth Sunday in Lent, and today's gospel reading has often been referred to as one of the most well-known, one of the favorite gospels of one of the favorite parables in the gospel. And this is a parable that I'm sure nearly everybody is familiar with. We commonly refer to it as the prodigal son, and I wonder if there's anybody in here that hasn't heard of the prodigal son. Anybody? No. Well, just in case somebody was too afraid to raise their hand, Jesus is telling everybody that's come around, I'm going to shortly summarize the gospel real quick, to all those who are listening, about a son who asked for his inheritance from his father, then takes off and squanders all of it, goes and leads a life of disrepute, winds up destitute, and finally comes to his senses. And he remembers that even those people that work for his father have a better life than he does. And surely, even if his father doesn't forgive him, at least he'll put him to work. At least he can go back and have a better life. So he comes home. He says, "Dad, you know, I screwed up. I'm sorry, you know." And surprisingly, not only does his dad take him back, but he takes him back and he throws him a party. He celebrates, you know. We could stop there. We could say, after all, this is referred to as the prodigal son very frequently. And if we do stop there, we can certainly use this parable as an exemplar that the Father represents God, and God forgives us of anything without hesitation, no matter what. And that's actually a very good message. We admit our wrongdoing, accept his forgiveness, and join in the celebration. But titling the parable "The Prodigal Son" doesn't do complete justice. It relegates the father to a very passive role. And now I've even heard it said, called the prodigal father. I saw Pastor Steve refer to the prodigal father once on Facebook this week, which can certainly give us a greater emphasis on the one who has a central place in the parable. But there's even more than that here. There's even more than just a lost son returning home and a loving father giving forgiveness. So if you stop there, you're missing a good part of it. What if we knew this parable as the diligent and lamentful son? Because you have this older son who's been diligently working the fields, taking care of his portion of the inheritance, making it productive, making it grow maybe, right there beside his father, never leaving his side. And here's this party going on. And maybe nobody invited him because he's always out in the fields. They think, oh, he surely knows that this is going on. So nobody sees him, you know. So he hears this ruckus going on up at the house. And he wonders, and he asks one of the people that work for his father. He says, what's going on here? And he finds out that it's his ne'er-do-well brother who's just shown up after all these years, didn't contact them, didn't let them know what was up with them, just took half of his father's money, wanders off, and then just reappears after all these years. And dad's throwing him a party. He's, you know, the least he could have done is lecture him. Come on. And he's been going through all this time making improvements, and what does he get? You know. So the elder son doesn't see the gifts that's there in front of him, the gifts that he gets every day from his father, the gifts that his father provides him, because he's been there every single day. He takes it for granted. He's been accustomed to having things a certain way in his world. Just, he's been going along, and then suddenly this other guy, that one, shows up, upsets the apple cart, and now his world's in turmoil. He's angry, he's resentful, he's also self-defeating. Because the father, when he finds out that his older son is out there, he invites him in, he begs him to come in. And, you know, he's crossing his arms. Mm-mm. I've done everything that I was supposed to do, everything you wanted me to, and this guy comes along and gets to take advantage of you. Where does that leave me? The younger son is lost and is found. Is the older son blind? What will it take for him to see? His father is standing there inviting him into the celebration, and he's steadfastly refusing to budge. Refusing to change, refusing to be transformed. His father's arms are being held open wide for him, ready to embrace his son in a loving embrace. And he just doesn't even want to hug him. He feels entitled. He's been faithful. He's been doing the right thing. How can he be transformed, though, if he refuses to even set foot inside that place that his father has prepared for him, for his younger son and for him? But the door is open. The father is standing there inviting him in to celebrate. The only thing keeping him out of these festivities is his own ego. Outside, angrily looking in. Now, if you were here last week and heard Pastor Steve preach his sermon, he said something about being jealous of me having this passage of the prodigal son from Luke. So I was like, oh, it's going to be easy. It's going to be great. I'm going to have a good time with this. And then as I'm studying for this, I find out that you need to be careful about taking this passage, because everybody is familiar with it. Everybody knows the prodigal son. And there's some people that are going to be listening to it and have already decided what the sermon is going to be about before you've even started it. So there's a huge challenge for me. So whereas, you know, you would expect that this passage would provide some very easy material for me to preach on. In fact, you know, when I'm worried about what those people are going to think, you know, I'm a little bit anxious. You know, that there might be people listening who already know what to think, no matter what I have to say. And maybe I'm just presuming. You know, there might not even be anybody here that falls into that category. But I wonder if there's something very sad about a way of thinking that people can't get past that. You know, because in order for us to preach the word, in order for the Holy Spirit to work, there has to be a willingness on everyone's part to be transformed by the word. Now, so thinking about people that are stuck in that mode of thinking, that aren't going to get anything new, does make me sad. And if we have already made up our minds about something, about the word, before the word even starts to come in, then where does the transformation take place? Although I've been guilty of the same sort of thing in my life, that I've been stuck doing the same thing. I have my certain expectations. Just the bare minimum of what I thought needed to be done, of what I was supposed to be doing. And then I wondered why other people were surpassing me, experiencing things that I was not experiencing, having their lives transformed while I was stuck in this deep rut. And what does it take to come to this community of Christ and not be transformed? So just yesterday, I was speaking to this fellow who used to go to a church back east. And when he went to that church, it was not a Lutheran church, it was more of a different kind of piety there, but he went to that church and he felt wonderful there. The building was filled with the Spirit. Everybody had their hands in the air. It was great. He felt invigorated and enlivened. And then after church was over, everybody went home, and some of those people were really mean people. What happened, what they experienced during church was completely different from the way they were on the outside. You know, how many people are there out there that treat church as a hobby? Something that they do, that they come and worship because they have nothing better to do with their time. It's what's expected of them. They get all dressed up. Hello there, Kelly. They get all dressed up and they diligently go through the maneuvers of preparing themselves to come to worship, piling their families or spouses or whatever in the car, and then going home on their own, after that, to the rest of their life, as if nothing had happened, as if it's a few hours out of their Sunday morning. For them to be transformed means that they need to realize that they too need to be saved. They too need to be forgiven. It is only a matter of understanding and admitting to themselves that just like the older son, in spite of all their works, in spite of coming to church every Sunday morning, in spite of doing the right thing on Sundays, that they are still just as fallible human beings like the rest of us. And I think that it would be the easiest thing to do just to say to God that we're helpless, fallible, that we're faulty, that we need your help, that we need God's forgiveness. And yet some of us, it's really hard. Many of us, it's really hard sometimes. Sometimes I think many of us fall into that category. Just to take his invitation when we know that it's available, we know that it's there, we know that he's standing there calling us, begging us to come in and celebrate. Celebrate the new life, the new creation, the feast that's to come. There's a party going on right here, a celebration. Those who have once been lost are now found. Those who are dead have new life. The blind now see. So, as we continue our journey throughout these 40 days of this Lenten season, we should keep in mind that God's grace is for all of us. Whether we are the wayward children who fall away into distant lands, out of God's presence, and who return and ask for his forgiveness, and find out that his grace is unconditional. Whether we're those people. Because God knows, you know, sometimes it can be hard to be the one that's doing the right thing and find out that God's grace is for the person who was sent to prison many years ago for doing some horrible things. All that person has to do is ask for God's forgiveness. And for us, whether we are the fixed and steadfast children, going through the motions day in and day out, being there but oblivious to the gifts that are there available to us each and every day, when all we need to do is accept his love for us, because sometimes we can fall into either category. When we have God's love for us, his everlasting grace, abounding around us, how can we do anything but seek to have our sins cleansed from us and join his celebration? Amen.